should probably put this slide
up. My jokes are on the slides.
All right, so just to make sure you guys are in the right room, this is, are we in the right room? In increasing SharePoint user adoption to have incredible results. We'll start in, by my watch, we're 3 minutes away.
Okay.
Okay, just want to share that I have a watch.
Do you really
shouldn't
have a watch?
Be clapping.
Do you really have a watch? I've got the Fitbit thing.
We're giving away one of those. Can I do advertising for my booth here? So we'll give away prizes in our booth. I'll do a little pitch, so if you walk out of my presentation halfway through it, at least I've pitched my company. We give away prizes in our booth. Everybody walks away a winner. We have a slot machine. I call it the SharePoint slot. You walk up, you hit a button, little slots play. You can win everything from a little pen, chapsticks, some speakers, earphones, the up, jawbone up, which tracks your health or how many steps. Interest. I'm not wearing mine because I don't want to know how much I've walked in Vegas. I probably would like, don't need to know that. Giving away the little Surface mouse, pretty nice. And we're giving away Xboxes. I was a little nervous because I set up the slot machine and put the odds on it. And yesterday when we started playing, the third person to play won an Xbox. So I noticed I got a little nervous every time I started seeing the spins come up. But we gave away two Xboxes yesterday, one Xbox today so far. And if you don't win a nice big prize, everybody wins something, but then we also give away cash. We have a thing called Capture the Cash where you pick a form, you go over and you see our software scanning it into SharePoint, and then it reveals how much money you've won. Now you can win $1, $5, $10, or $25. So if I don't give away the money and prizes, I have to gamble it in the casino. Right. So got to get rid of it somehow.
Take it away from Kevin, please.
Take it away from me. We've already accounted for it in the budget. So with that, I burnt my 2 minutes up. We can probably get started. So.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for coming. I'm Kevin Ellis, Director of Marketing here at Knowledge Lake. And we're not really here at Knowledge Lake with the SharePoint conference, obviously. But here's our new chief. No, you're not. You're the Vice President.
Vice President of Engineering.
It's on the slide.
It's on the slide.
It's on the slide. So Ben just recently joined us. Ben comes. Well, give a little bio on you, Ben.
I started at Microsoft in the mid to late 90s. I worked on the Windows, a little product called Windows. I was on the Windows NT team when it was making the transition from Windows NT to Windows 2000. That's when we were integrating the plug and play and a few other features from Windows 95 and Windows 98 into Windows. It is the best release of Windows ever, so I worked on it. After Microsoft, they moved on to what is now Dell Software. It was actually Quest Software at the time, purchased by Dell. Where I spent about 10 years and did a little startup for a few years and then came and joined Knowledge Lake.
And this is my first day on the job in this industry, so I hopefully can pull this stuff. I started actually doing this in ECM in 1994, went through three different companies till I got to Knowledge Lake about 7 years ago, and so hopefully my experience in the little SharePoint ECM space is reflected in the slides we have here today. So. Let's get to it. So we know people have challenges. People have lots of business challenges. It's pretty obvious, you know, it's harder than ever to get things done around. Now technology is moving very fast. It's much more competitive. The economy is not making everybody rich, so we all work a lot harder than we used to. And we create a lot more information than we used to. We need to manage that information more efficiently than ever before. That kind of information runs in a couple of different areas. Most of you guys think of content in SharePoint as electronic content. But I come from a document imaging background. And that's paper content. And I remember going to the Windows conference about 15 years ago in Comdex, and Bill Gates said, we're going to have the paperless office.
I was there.
Were you there? Yeah.
There.
And then his screen did a blue screen of death and crashed. Wrong in two ways. Windows wasn't stable, and we didn't get to the paperless office, because today we actually create more paper than ever before. In the past, when you just had a secretary creating your content, or your paper, it wasn't proliferate, but now everybody is capable of creating content, creating documents. We all have word processors. We create lots of paper. Statistically, it's all over the place and just gets produced more and more and more, and it's harder to manage. And I hear a lot of people say, you know, we don't have content, we don't get paper in our company, and I walk into their company, and I'm like, so these things that are metal that hold paper are...
Are full of what? Bits and bytes.
You have lots of paper, and you need to manage it more efficiently. Then you have electronic content. That's what most of you guys are familiar with, and we create that content all over the place, and it's hard to manage. You got electronic content in your inbox. You got electronic content on your desktop. You got more and more content created by more and more people, especially those famous people in your organization who love to hit reply all with the attachments. And because of all this content, it's all over the place. You can't find it.
There's a study that said that 80% of all content that's put into one of these repositories can't be found again.
Yeah, it's just overload of information. And with all this content, there's lots of risks managing this content. Of course, there's compliance, there's legal reasons why you have to manage this content officially. There's audits and litigations. Anybody who works in the legal department knows it's a pain and it takes forever. The more content you have, the harder it's going to be to do your legal holds, and that means more money for your organization wasted on that. Disaster recovery, if your content's on paper and it's flooded or fried or burnt or destroyed in some way, your company may not be able to exist if you lose that information. And lost and misfiled documents have high costs, so I'll talk about that a little bit later, how much it actually costs to replace those missing documents. And customer service. If you can't find information about your customers think you don't care about them. For example, you know, you go to a bank and you give them an application for a loan, you think they're going to have that information available immediately. And they call you up and go, hey, you got my loan? They're like, I don't know, it's in a pile in an inbox somewhere. So customer service is key, getting that content into a system where you can find it right away. Same goes for employees. If you can't get to the employee's information, well, the employees can't get the information about your organization, they can't be the most efficient employees. Because I've had companies where everything's in the intranet, but you can't find it, so I couldn't even find my company handbook.
Well, and the new saying is that data or information is the new currency, and that's true.
So we try to solve these problems. We look at organizations, try to fix these content-solving problems, everything from paper, electronic files, the management, the structure, the organization of that information, and efficiency of processes. An example of one of our companies, and it's a case study I'll talk about later on, I went to this organization, and the guy took me around and goes, look at what I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with people who can't get away from paper. And this lady would get an email. She would get an email for an order. She would print it out. She would walk over to the printer, grab the document, and then take it over to somebody's desk and put it in their inbox. And I said, yeah, you definitely got a document. I'm not kidding. It's a document. I filmed her, and she's like, you're going to use that later. I'm like, no. But it's a document management process. It was slow, it's inefficient. It still happens. So SharePoint, use it. Why use it?
You've already made an investment in it. Why not?
You've got an investment in it. Your IT department's familiar with it. Your employees are familiar with the interface. It's part of your desktop, so it's a great investment. You want to cultivate that investment. But is anybody here, honestly, I mean, we know it's the big problem. Problem with user adoption, right? Anybody? All right, thank you. We hear it all the time. The problem with user adoption is people don't want to put content in SharePoint because they find it hard to do. And then they find that SharePoint makes the documents disappear. There's the old saying. You may hear this all week. If you've lost it,
it's in SharePoint.
Exactly. So people don't want to use the system. Now, it's not necessarily the problem with the people. It's not the tool. SharePoint's an amazing product. And like you said, and I said, we've been using this for a long time since its evolution.
Yep.
It's the problem is the planning and the organization, the training for the employees. If you don't plan this well, you're going to get what you invest in. If you don't invest in your people and your planning, you're going to see results.
It's just another dumping ground.
It's just another dumping ground like another file share. In fact, we'll talk about that in just a second. But so we've been doing this. We've looked at these problems, doing it since 2003. We've got 2 million licensed users, some of the biggest companies in the world using our product in over 35 countries. We have a little bit of an ego. We think we're the Knowledge Lake SharePoint experts because we are. We've won Microsoft's Partner of the Year 3 times. For ECM and forums. We've won other awards from Microsoft, and we've won awards around the world. And I'll be honest with you, a couple of the awards I probably paid off the marketing department to win the award, but for the most part, you won these awards fair and square. And it's because we've been doing it and we've made customers happy. And I'll talk about a case study a little bit later on, if my voice lasts that long.
If not, I'll take over.
There you go.
We're good.
We'll talk about a case study of one of our customers who's also up for an award this week at the Medalogix Best of Breed Award for one of our solutions. So we're the SharePoint experts. We've been doing it since 2003. We were doing ECM before SharePoint came along. In fact, we looked at SharePoint back in 2001 and realized it was really just another SQL database with some metadata around it. And we looked at it and we said, well, it's going to need things like search. It's going to need imaging. It's going to need these add-ons into SharePoint to make it ECM.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing it ever since. You want to get a little story behind that, I believe?
Well, I was saying, with the release of SharePoint 2003, we wrote these onboarding products, the capture and also on the consumption side, being able to pull documents out of that software to really make it a viable ECM platform. And we were really promoting the heck out of that for years until SharePoint 2007, when finally even Microsoft marketing team caught up and started saying the same thing. And it was, again, we're the first ones to the party.
We were actually on the technical advisory panel. and the product advisory panel. So we would go up to Redmond, work with Microsoft, and help them advise them on how to make the next version of SharePoint. And people would say to us, well, why would you do that? Now they're going to make you redundant by building your features into the next version of SharePoint. That gave us a chance to stay ahead. We made SharePoint better, and we added features to our tools to make it better, so it's a win-win for both of us. So let's go into what we fix. We fix the paper problem. Paper piles up. People don't think about it until they really take a look and analyze it. I mean, you don't. You got paper. I got piles of paper in my house, you know, invoices, receipts, but I'm not trying to run an organization behind it. I file a few expenses, and I stick everything in a drawer, and I'm probably not going to get audited. But real organizations don't have that easy. They have a lot of paper challenges. It adds up all over the place. It's moving around very inefficiently. The volume keeps on building up. This is a long story, but the reason ECM came along in the first place, and there was companies like the U.S. Navy, they have these big boats, and all those boats were full of paper. And the boats were actually sinking because they had to keep all their manuals and documentation on the boats. If the boat went to war, they may lose contact with the other people, so they had to be able to fix their own boat with their own manuals. The boats were sinking for too much paper, and only a company can be seen sinking with too much paper. So that's the paper problem. It's expensive to move around. It's expensive to the mail, to fax, to ship, to print, to consume. I got a click here that the average company spends $42,000 just for wasting paper, just on the consumption of the paper. And then the processes of moving that around are slow and inefficient. Then the storage, the long-term and short-time storage of putting that paper somewhere, then trying to find information on it. So paper's a problem. There's some numbers on there, $20 just to file it, $120 to replace it. We looked at a situation like AP, accounts payable, probably the least interesting product to focus on, but one of the most paper-intensive. We all get invoices and purchase orders and shipping and stuff like that. So studies have shown that the average processing of one invoice costs $16. When I always laugh when somebody sends me an invoice for $4, I'm like, you're losing $14 actually charging me for this product. Costs $16 on average to process an invoice. By automating that paper process, you can reduce it down to $2. That's just one different example of a department that's very paper intensive.
I had a check from a bank once for 3 cents. I cashed the check.
That's pretty funny. Another example, between 20%, 26% and 41% of time is spent people responding to questions. And those questions, if those answers are on paper, they are running around wasting their time trying to get to the information. Basically, $10 to answer, service a call. When that information could be called up in SharePoint in just a few seconds versus, let me get back to you, I'm going to go find that information. We've found that by moving from paper to electronic, you can increase your productivity by 33%, and you see a 3 times increase in productivity from doing that. So just some little interesting statistics that are worth looking into when you're like, why do I want to address my paper problem? Because if you can increase your ability to do things 3 times faster, why wouldn't you? So that's paper. We're done with the paper. They're happy to hear I'm done with the paper, apparently. And so we're going to move to the digital content problem. What most of you guys deal with today is digital content. And I'm going to take a chance to take a sip of water and let you take the slide.
Sure. So there's more data. Well, there are the 3 Vs from big data, right? The volume, variety, and I shouldn't have said 3 Vs. Volume, variety. There's more data now than ever before, from instrumentation systems that were never instrumented before, log systems that were never logged before. It's a massive amount of information, and there's no way to stay on top of all that digital information now with the existing systems.
Yeah, and that information is coming in from all kinds of sources. We're sitting here, you know, we're all guilty of having our own shared drives, too hard to browse, too hard to find your information. You're out of compliance, and if you lose your laptop, somebody finds your laptop, you've got all your access to your content, it's unsecured and unsearchable. Basically, you know, we're typically used to putting content on our hard drives and everything in there. That's just for us end users, but, you know, most of us use this very amazing content management system called Outlook. For those of you using Notes, we apologize. But your email system is not the most ideal content management solution. There's no real metadata searching. It's inefficient for searching. It's not efficient for your IT department to manage these large repositories with all that content in there. It's just kind of a liability using Outlook as your storage system. And it's not a very great way to collaborate when I'm sure you're all guilty of everybody doing the reply all with the attachment.
Email a 5 meg file to 10 people. They email it to five more people and you're toast.
So there's also, here's the challenges with it. Risk and security and compliance. You're breaking the law doing this. You don't know who's got the right version of the content. You don't have access to that content. There's lots of legal reasons to move to a more secure system using SharePoint more efficiently. And that's what we do. We do everything to make SharePoint more efficient for our end users. everything. When I say everything, we don't do everything. We help you plan, build, migrate content into it. And what we're going to do now is talk about how we address some of these multitude of features that are available in SharePoint. Now, when I say we do everything, we don't really do everything. We don't do web content management. We don't do digital asset management. And we work with partners for like Nintex and K2 for forms management and BPM processing. And we're adding some new features to do some of the stuff with the social. What we're going to do is talk about what we do today and some of the stuff we have the vision for the future. So, Ben, this is where you came in.
Hey,
and made
the
yourself.
Geeky stuff. Yeah. Anybody here, engineer, IT, any kind of geeky? Good. Okay.
Just awesome. Those two guys?
Just two? Well, then I'll talk to two and the rest of you. No, everybody's good. So the way that when I started Knowledgeek, the first thing to do is step back and look at what is the business value of the Knowledgeek software? What's the business value expected in ECM? What do people need from SharePoint? And obviously there's a repository, right? SharePoint is a repository. And that repository has certain services on it. Now, we're all familiar with, you know, obviously storage services, version control services, security services. There's some taxonomy built in, some services around applying taxonomy. But what KnowledgeLeak does and has done, and what's expected of ECM, are four main categories, and we'll drop into each of the. Oh, we're already dropping in? Good. Now. Okay. Capture, store, manage, consume. So you're either onboarding content into your system, into your repository. There's the repository itself and the services around the repository. And there's managing the content once it's in the repository, and then there's consuming it to get it back out again. Now, we really need to wrap around that repository so that new versions of the repository don't disrupt your business. And so we really need to focus in on what are the business values we're actually providing in each category. So, in the capture space, obviously we're scanning, we're creating documents, cleaning them. I'm not going to read the slide, extracting, but there are a whole class of business value propositions that are expected from a system that onboards content into SharePoint.
Yeah. So we built. Do we have any actual customers here? I know we have. I can see a few of you guys. Thank you guys for coming. Appreciate it. Hope you had a good week. We had our own user conference yesterday in the last 2 days, so these guys have already beat you guys to having fun here, I think. So. What we do is we help capture content. One of our big points is capturing content. When I see capture, I mean, you know, uploading content, scanning paper, adding the right metadata, doing it from any device. We can do it from a copier, do it from a scanning device, do it from your Outlook, do it from Office, do it from your desktop, do it from a line of business system. What I'm going to show you is some demonstrations of how this works. So for those of you who've never seen a scanning application, it's your lucky day. What we're going to see here is actually me scanning a whole bunch of documents at once, having the software automatically separate the documents. So imagine I go up to a scanner and throw in a bunch of invoices, or in this case, I'm doing human resources, a bunch of content associated with an employee onboarding into a company. Software automatically separates the documents, identifies the documents, and then prompts me to add metadata to these documents. Without our software, it would be time-consuming to do this. You'll be typing like crazy, making lots of errors, and users will be like, really, this is my new job, just typing in metadata all day long.
There's your user adoption right there.
Low user adoption. So what you're going to see here is a piece of software that's very simple looking, but very powerful in the back end. What we want to do is make it look simple, yet empower those people to do lots of things with it. So when you see this interface, you're like, wow, these guys have 5 buttons. I mean, there can't be much going on there. Why give people 75 buttons, which some of our competition does, just so they, like, you could do this if you were like that 1.000% of the world who needed that feature. So we focus on the features people need. Scan it, index it, release it. So what we're seeing is a scanning application, a very simple button up at the top. You say scan. Once it hits the scanner, it's going to hit scanning device. This could be coming from a remote scanner. This could be coming from a network scanner. This could be importing from an MFP device or copier. It's going to automatically start separating these documents, identifying the documents, and then going, okay, now I found a job application. I need to know the person's first name, last name, social security number. As I start typing this, the first time I do it, on the first document, I'm creating a new employee. This information is automatically coming from SharePoint under the content types. You set it up in SharePoint, and all our products read SharePoint. So you admin once, read from any device or any application. As I start going through here and typing in, I'll type in the first name, last name. These are red fields. They are required fields. I would not be able to put this content in SharePoint without somebody completing this information, so you don't get data dumped in SharePoint without the right identification. And as I type it in, I could be doing optical character recognition or extracting data automatically off certain areas of the document. I'm just going to go ahead and type them in. I've got the social security number already in my system, so I look it up and it automatically fills in the last name. Why type it if you can do a database lookup? And then I'm going to go ahead and use some managed metadata here to define the job position. I don't want the people to define new job titles. So I want them to just pick it off a list. So this is using your managed metadata to go ahead and look up a job title, and then you've got a consistent, so when you go to search for it, there's no confusion on what the job title is. And you'll see me complete a few more fields here, some date, region, territory. There's a little OCR I can drag over the field and say extract, boom, and it extracts the information, saves me typing, reduces errors on data entry. So extract it, and you can set up templates, so when if the information always appears in exactly the same place, I hit a button and extracts all the information automatically. I'm doing some lists here, radio buttons, checked boxes, all the different things you may find on a form and ways you want to do metadata, but yet you'll notice I really only typed the word, I think.
The last name, that was it.
It was the last name, that's the only thing I ever typed. The rest was all extracted automatically. Now I can go ahead and look up that employee's and social security number. I already have their information. I'm going to auto-populate the rest of the fields. In this case, all I need to do is add the date. Now, because I know all the other documents are going to need this, I'm going to lock them down and say, use this every time. And so I'll never type it again. Every other form or every other document moving through will say, this is always going to be first name, last name, and so forth. So I just start hitting next page, next page, next page, and the index thing's done. So really, in this example, I typed 5 characters, and I'm adding close to 35, 40 metadata fields to 7 or 8 different documents with very little user interaction, just a little bit of getting through and then saving it. So what this does is it gets people to actually put the data on the documents that you want there in the first place, makes it accurate, and then it reduces the keystrokes, and that reduces cost. So I'm doing this in slow motion because actual users who will be doing this would be like banging through like this very quickly.
Here's what's great. People complain about doing this tagging of documents all the time for work. Same people doing that will go home, go on YouTube, right, and tag all day long for fun. Tagging's fun at home.
Mm-hmm.
Tagging's
work.
Look,
it's my friend. Tag that. Same thing. Very straightforward. Here we got radio buttons. You know, I'm looking at the driver's license. There's a radio button. Once everything's created and tagged, you hit release. It converts it to a format you want in SharePoint. It could be a TIFF or a PDF file. Stores it in SharePoint in the right location. Once again, the user didn't need to know where it was going. They said, I'm doing accounting. Scan it, few fields, send it to SharePoint. So it's in SharePoint. Now, for those rest 95% of us who don't scan paper documents, here's something a little more familiar. It's Outlook. Now, for most people putting content from Outlook into SharePoint, they usually have to take the document, save it to their desktop, and then go over to SharePoint, go to the site, go to the library, go to the folder, go add document, then go browse out, find the document, et cetera, et cetera. What you're going to see here is a panel appearing on the right-hand side showing the different sites that I love and the locations I love. And I love human resources, AP, and legal.
No love for engineering.
Who loves engineering? Sorry, I shouldn't say that. A SharePoint show. We're doing kind of an HR thing here. So I've got some guy sent in his driver's license. He applied for a job, and I'm like, I need to see your ID. So he mails in a copy of his driver's license. I say I'm going to put that in my human resources employee file. I drag it over, and then it says, okay, this is identification. Who is it? And you'll see me do the indexing very quickly. So from Outlook, you can start saving stuff to SharePoint. And if you save stuff to a certain department all the time, you can make these little favorites on your screen, and you just click on the favorite and go, it's going to HR. It's going to AP. And then, once again, people don't mind doing it this way because it's easy, and now it's all put in the same place.
Yeah, so we're in this Outlook add-on, obviously, we're connecting to a service that's on the server side that's close to the repository, and that service is helping with the indexing. So that's the same indexing user experience no matter what application you're in.
Exactly. And that's part of the ECM services is once you do indexing in one app, it's always going to look familiar. And here's the next app. Let's just jump over to Word. So now we have that same capability right inside an Office application like Word or Excel or PowerPoint. I say I'm going to save. Sorry, I'm seeing the demo over here. Come on, baby. There we go. So what you're going to see now is a Word come up. I'm looking at a Word document. I say index it. A panel appears. And just go, boom, it's this guy's application save. And it's done. It's gonna once it gets moving, and we get to the actual saving part, it's going to go so fast it's a document, put it there, save it. And so, you know, this seems like a lot of steps for people, but when you start adding up lots of content, especially in paper-intensive or document-intensive departments, every time you can save a little bit of money, it certainly adds up. We have companies that deployed it to every single desktop. Every single desktop. I mean, companies with 5,000, 10,000 employees, they have it on their desktop and built into Outlook or built into their Office applications. And why could they do that? Because the training it took to train somebody to go ahead and go, when you get a document, look up the employee's name off a list, and then it's hit save.
Yeah, you want to improve adoption? Take the application to where the user is. Don't try to take the user to the application.
Yep. So all the stuff is going somewhere. It's being stored.
Sure. So now the services that are, for the most part, provided by SharePoint. Our repository does have to provide some services to us. So it's not just a repository. There's a service layer around it. We want to interact with our repository. We want to interact through this service layer. And what we expect from an ECM repository, those services, are obviously the architecture and taxonomy, ability to assign security, DRM, version control, localization. These are all native services that we expect of the system itself.
And what we do as part of building these systems is we know how to set up SharePoint the right way. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands of who's set up SharePoint the wrong way, but from us doing it so many times, we actually wrote books on managing and structuring your content efficiently. Russ, I don't think he's here, Russ Holbrook, works with Microsoft. He helped write their specs to scale SharePoint better than anybody else. They were putting 50 million documents per week to see how the SharePoint could scale. And we helped write these guides and basically some papers to help you design your system correctly. We give you good strategy and ideas for taxonomy and governance. So you don't go in there alone and come back like 6 months later and go, like, nobody used it, and the people who did lost everything. And it's not scaling, and it's not working, it's crashing. So we give you advice on how to do it. We moved about 100 million documents into SharePoint last year. We have one customer that we have to keep remained nameless.
Yes.
Does 1 million documents a week. Scanning alone into SharePoint internationally. 1 million documents a week, no problem scaling, because we help them design the system right. Now, we've also heard people having not such good experience.
Mm-hmm.
System runs slow, didn't work correctly, didn't scale the service correctly. Go to the right way, get a good user experience, because it's hard to take back that first user experience and fix it.
Yeah, well,
they don't want to know anything about it.
Yeah.
One of the rules I've had for user adoption, don't tell them they're using SharePoint. Tell them they're using the new intranet.
There you go.
That's going to make their life easier.
Well, if you don't capture it right, you can't find it afterwards. So that brings us to management. This obviously means workflow services. You're in the business processes, auditing, the portal, the things we expect. Again, some of these services are coming from SharePoint. Some of them are coming from the vendors around SharePoint. But again, this is a valuable class of ECM.
Yeah. And is anybody who's using workflow right now? Yeah, exactly. That's the big win.
Everybody.
Is getting content into SharePoint and moving around efficiently. And so without good metadata, workflow doesn't work. What we do is we work with companies like Nintex and K2 and actually out-of-the-box workflow. In fact, we wrote our own workflow many years ago before SharePoint even had some good workflow. So you can take advantage of moving this process through efficiently. And we help people design nice workflow. We use it. We eat our own dog food in-house.
Mm-hmm.
We use it for our accounting and our HR. And, you know it's a great win. One thing we did find... Oh, sorry?
No, we got a workflow people doing workflow. I was kind of curious what... Show of hands, who's doing K2? Show of hands, who's doing Nintex? Show of hands, who's doing Windows workflow? Who's brave? Show of hands, who's really brave? Who's doing PowerShell workflow, PS workflow? One? Wow. Hey, I'll tell you a secret.
Engineer to engineer talk, obviously.
So I was in Redmond. Anybody from Microsoft here first?
We're being recorded.
Good. We are being recorded? Okay, well, I'll tell you it anyway. I'm going to get in trouble. So PS Workflow, everybody knows it's based on PowerShell syntax, right? It's essentially, PowerShell is a scripting language, and you write function, your code, you can run the function. Well, PS Workflow essentially replaces the word function with workflow, and you're writing script that gets executed as workflow on the Windows Workflow Engine. So PS Workflow is a layer above the Windows Workflow Engine. And what's important about this is that PowerShell has a contract, and the contract is that code today is going to work in the next version. The reason why I asked who's using Windows Workflow, are you brave enough, is that between version 2.0 and 3.0 of Windows Workflow, does anybody know, did your activities work from 2.0 to 3.0? No, it was a breaking compatibility upgrade from 2 to 3. How about from 3 to 3.5? Did they work? No, it was a breaking compatibility. But PowerShell Workflow is that promise, is that guarantee, right? It's a guarantee that if you write your workflow this way, it will work in subsequent versions. So that's a pretty powerful, important thing. It's nice that you recognize it. Anyway, sorry.
Looks like we're out of time there, Ben.
I apologize. Don't let me geek out next time. See on the marketing slides.
I should have brought the chime. So records management, talk about geeking out. This is probably one of the least exciting, no offense to records managers, but this is really not the exciting stuff. Nobody really wants to deal with boxes and basements and lives of boxes and basements, but this is important. If you don't have records management, you keep on making more boxes of basements, basements full of boxes. You need a lifecycle of documents. For many reasons, compliance, laws, search works better if you're not searching over a million documents that are dead and obsolete. So SharePoint has some records management tools. It's getting better, but we actually have a new product for enhancing the records management of SharePoint. We had a speaker at our conference yesterday talking about this, and SharePoint has about like 25 good features. Fortune 1000 companies need about another 250 features that aren't available in SharePoint to reach compliance laws. There's a level over that DoD 2015, which the government has for Department of Defense. Most people don't need to have the security and records management of a military organization. But what we've done is enhance SharePoint for more records management, better records management, more auditing, searching, and makes it easier for the end user. So what I'm going to do is give you a simple scenario of what records management means. Who's interested? Oh, see, records management usually drives the room clear, so I'm just going to make this as short as possible. Content comes in. You just put it in. It comes in from any source. It goes into SharePoint. The user doesn't care what records management rules are applied to these documents. It's already set up by the software in the background. It mandates how long that document lives, who can look at that document, and the life cycle of that document as far as like when it gets destroyed. In addition to that, it allows people to be able to put holds and all the legal expertise and mumbo-jumbo that happens on documents more efficiently. If you have ever had to do an audit, you know it's time-consuming and expensive. Here, our system can run an e-discovery on all of SharePoint, find all the documents associated with a legal case, lock those documents down, and give them to the lawyers with just a few buttons. And if you do it the old-fashioned way with paper boxes, I saw a statistic like the average big company, Fortune 100, spends almost $1 million on each legal case just doing the audits and discovery. So you don't need it. You hate to have to need it, but when you need it, you're glad you have it. Right. So the last one is consumption.
Back to the cool geeky slide. So consumption is the last category. Obviously, we need to search for and find our documents, be able to explore them. We expect to be able to annotate and collaborate with each other on our documents, export those, and personalize what we're seeing. This is the part where we're, again, our mobility strategy plays, everybody's mobility strategy, in connecting you to those documents that are repository. Again, another expected category of ECM.
Yeah, so what, in the very beginning, SharePoint search was kind of not as powerful as it needed to be. Nobody was doing metadata-based searching. They were doing kind of Google-ish search, where you're looking for the most popular document. You type in the word Kevin, and you find everything with the word Kevin in there. Let's use a better example. Say my name was George. Well, I could come back with, that's another bad example. Let's say my name was Washington. And let's look at every document with the name Washington. I can go back with the state of Washington, the city of Washington, the street of Washington, the last name of Washington. I want to find George Washington, one of my employees. So we've set up SharePoint to do metadata-based searching. You put the metadata on the documents to use it for search. It makes it much more efficient, more accurate. If you're in the accounting department and you're looking for a purchase order and you want to find PO number 12345, you don't want to look for the most popular document with the number 12345 on it. You want to find very quickly PO number 12345, possibly from company name XYZ. So what we provide, and did I accidentally just give you the shortest demo ever? Sorry.
Yeah, but that means we could more quickly get to the geeky slides again.
No, we don't.
No?
Okay. No. This is going to be a demonstration of search inside SharePoint using metadata-based searching. That, one more time.
Don't click it.
I won't click it. Sorry, folks. It's clicker excitement here.
So this is what my team does. I'll let you talk to this slide.
All right, so searching naturally. You put stuff into lists. When you've got hundreds of thousands of millions of documents, you don't want to go looking through lists. You want to search for them. But you know what traditional search looks like in SharePoint, and this is 2013, so you know it's a little different than the other versions, like 2007, 2010. It's search based on popularity. And so the results come back, and you get a list of documents in order of what it thinks are the most likely one that you want to look at. But it's highly likely it's going to be the first one on the list. It's not like Google looking for the most popular web page. If you've got images with no data in them, it's not going to find anything. You have no preview of it, so it's time-consuming. You spend between 25 and 50% of your time every day searching for things. If you can reduce that by 5%, you've cut your labor cost by 5%. If you can cut it by 20%, it can go on. So what we've done is built a system to allow you to search more efficiently and faster. This is an interface that the users, admins, set up to provide the interface to the user to search on these indexes. Boolean search, first name starts with greater than, less than, in a form. You fill out the form. You hit the search, and the results come back like that with a list of the information. Here I'm looking for everybody with the last name that starts with A-C-K-E. I'm looking for actually Mr. Ackerman, but I found Mr. Ackerman and Mr. Ackerwoman. So what I'm going to do now is filter it down by last name. And now I can group it to just Mr. Ackerman or Mrs. Ackerwoman. You can do these different kind of filters. You can do the different kinds of sorts. You can group it by type of document. So I want everything for Mr. Ackerman. It's just searching in human resources only with the right security trimming and then showing here's his application, here's his resume. I am in HR, aren't I?
You are in HR.
I don't have my glasses on. I can't read my own slides right now. So trimming it down, find the information very quickly. And what also is great about it, you can just find the documents, then you can search and compare them together. So you're going to see a simulation here of finding a couple of documents. I want to compare, make sure his identification is matching what he put on like his 10-I-9 form. So he is who he claims he is. And once I've looked at these documents side by side, I'm going to then realize I'm missing a document. I need to get him to go send me that driver's license over. So I'm going to let this thing do its demonstration, take a little sip of water here, and kind of explain for itself what's going on. I'm actually going to put my glasses on so I can read the screen a little better.
Well, this is my team.
So Ben writes this stuff and writes it really good, so you should explain what you're seeing too.
I turned my compiler in years ago for Outlook and PowerPoint and Visio. Is anybody else in the same boat? I missed my compiler, I've got to be frank. This is my team that writes not the web parts, but obviously the technology behind them, so the controls that you're embedding these web parts, the metadata searching. Well, why capture metadata if you're not going to use it?
I got it from here now. Now I can see the screen. I know what slide we're on. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to go compare two applications side by side. Hit my viewer. Now, if this was traditional SharePoint out of the box, it would open maybe Acrobat. Acrobat's not really SharePoint aware. It's not going to see metadata. It's not going to have records management controls. It's not going to have workflow built into the viewer. So when the viewer appears here, you're going to see a toolbar appear that's very similar to what you're going to see inside the functions of SharePoint. I have the ability to edit the properties. I can add some annotations to this document. I could start a workflow process, declare it a record. I can view and compare these documents. I can go ahead and do things like highlighting, sticky notes, stuff you can do in Acrobat, but now you're doing it inside a built-in viewer. It's going to be HTML5. It's currently still Silverlight. HTML5 is coming out?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. So works on any piece of glass, as you'd like to say, right?
Every piece of glass.
Every piece of glass. And it's written with one piece of code, so it's going to work in all our different products, the same type of view. And so now you're really working with your documents, just like you'd work with your paper electronic files, but now very robust SharePoint experience with the same look and feel.
And we are releasing that with an SDK, so if you've got line of business apps you want to have a viewer in as well, that's available.
And we've worked with partners like K2 to build in forms into the viewer, so you can have a form on the side. I was going to do a session. You can see the workflow panel appearing here. You can fill in the forms, take action while you're looking at the documents. You're not popping it out and then having to make a decision over here. It's all one interface and one experience for the user. I'm looking at my clock right now, and for the interest of time, I'm going to move to the next demonstration. I will give a little pitch out. We give these demonstrations in our booth, and you win money for watching them. So you can either watch it here or get paid to watch it later. So I'm going to suggest come by and get paid to that demo because it does go a little bit long. Who uses line of business integration? Who uses line of business systems? Anybody using Dynamics? No, because you're all at the Dynamics show in Atlanta today. Microsoft was, I don't know why, but they held their two biggest trade shows of the year the same week. So I have half my team in Atlanta showing our Dynamics integration. But here's an example of working inside Dynamics, Great Plains, and I want to find a document that's associated with a record inside Great Plains. Instead of teaching all your users inside Great Plains how to use SharePoint, we show them how to use one button. And this one button integration allows them to scan, search, upload all this content, keep it in SharePoint so you've got the records management rules, the scaling, all the compliance around the content. But now you're using the SharePoint as your repository, but enabling people in your organization to do document management. But all they have to do is learn how to push a button. In this case, I'm going to go look for all employee files. It's going to query the form the document's on and query SharePoint and come back with all the documents associated with this employee record. If people can't learn how to push this one button, they probably shouldn't be touching any of these software in your organization. And to be realistic, that's why people like it, because it was like, oh, that was easy. They don't even, once again, know they're using SharePoint. They just know there's a button to find their documents. And there's all the documents on that employee. Now, if they want to add a document, once again, they push one button and hit scan or hit upload, and it adds the metadata automatically, screen scrapes the documents. They type nothing. They just go add a document, that document, save it. And we put this in, I don't know how many companies now are doing it. In fact, we've got case studies in, the, once again, another company, I believe Data2 is in a nominated award winner for the Medalogix contest. Probably it's a finalist, and they're doing line of business integration with their AP solution as well. And we've even built more complex solutions behind this, working with companies like K2 for doing a lot of workflow behind this. So you would maybe upload a document from your Great Plains, and it would trigger a workflow for approval and so forth in the back end, and then trigger somebody's email Outlook with a link saying, approve this document. So very cool, robust, and what's cool about it is this is code-free. We're not going any SDKs. We're not doing any APIs. We're doing a wizard over any application to read the screen, choose the fields, and apply an action from searching or retrieving or uploading and mapping it to SharePoint. So if you add this content to any line of business system, it just takes a few seconds. In fact, when we showed our new wizard, it was so simple, people were like, why'd you, I didn't really see anything. It wasn't a very good demo, like, because that's all it needs to do. It's just a simple little three clicks, and you've got integration with a line of business system. You can have any line of business system. It doesn't be Microsoft, it could be a browser-based system. It works with Google, the Google world. Works with JD Edwards, works with your AS400, works with your mainframe computers, anything. So our last one is ECM for the desktop.
Yay.
And so we wrote, who's using Office 365? I know, okay, a couple of you. So Office 365, many good reasons for using it.
There are really just two people here?
No, I saw hands over here too.
Okay.
Yeah, so the problem with Office 365 is we had this great searching capability for many, many years, and you install it on your server, and you can install it on Office 365. You can install many things on Office 365. So a few years ago, we saw this coming because we knew it was coming. So we built a client-side application to work with SharePoint. We call it Knowledge Lake Connect, but I call it ECM for the desktop. It's the ability to explore SharePoint, upload and scan content, and also search using that same index-based metadata search, all from a thick client, so the user never sees SharePoint.
And this year, we're releasing updates. My team's releasing updates to provide offline mode so that you can work disconnected from your Office 365 and still do your searches and still, as long as they're cached, and still do your content onboarding as well.
So what you're seeing here is me searching through SharePoint. I can create a favorite, so I like going to this place all the time. It makes a little heart, so I go there every morning. I click heart and go to that library. I can actually do my own index-based searching and save those searches. So if I want to go, say, do a little query, go, I want to search HR for all onboarding, like resume, application, I-9, and use first name, last name, and go save. And then make a little heart. And every morning, just click on the heart, it brings up the interface, and I can just find all the new
You reports. Love that heart. Are you the reason there's a heart in there?
I like a heart.
You're the heart in Connect, aren't you? Okay.
I got a big heart. So that's our demonstrations of the consumption. And now what Ben's done is taking a look at all these products and going, how can I keep them adapting quickly and updating them quickly? And what we had the problem was in the past, we would make a new feature inside one product, and then we'd have to try to do it different for each other one.
All right. Everybody take a picture of this if they want to take the picture before we slide off of this one. So, and by the way, while you're taking pictures, my first day on the job here at Knowledge Lake, I locked my team in the room and I said, listen, let's write all these business value propositions down. And we had about 100. We culled them down to just these, 50-ish, and started drawing circles on the whiteboard around those to say, okay, these are the categories, and that's what's next. All right, let's get excited. Let's talk about cloud. Push forward. So, does everybody know what cloud is? Everybody here a cloud master? Does everybody understand cloud technology? I see some smiles. People have seen this this little bit. We're not going to do the same kind of class that we did before about what is a cloud. But
no.
Cloud is really about dynamic resource pooling and elastic compute. It just means that your resources, your compute net and storage, grow and shrink as you need. Right? If you're not using all your resources, it shrinks automatically. If you need more, it grows automatically, and it's dynamic resource pooling. And, you know, we think about cloud, especially with SharePoint, we think Office 365, and that's just not true. That is a cloud. That is software as a service. That's cloud remote. That's cloud public. But that's not every cloud. Cloud is a technology, and that technology can be delivered on-prem even, and in a dedicated private way. So cloud is just a technology. Office 365 is just one implementation of cloud. So cloud's easy. Social. Why is social important? Why is social important to ECM? Well, social is important, again, because what it represents is, it's not what I have for breakfast, right? That's not useful to a business. What it represents is user participation, user adoption, because social is the idea of really coming down to network effect. is that applications are pushed to the users rather than the users being dragged to the applications, right? Everybody's heard of WhatsApp. WhatsApp was bought 2 weeks ago by Facebook for $16 billion. And the reason they were bought for $16 billion and they're less than 5 years old is because they had a million users a day adoption rate, a million users a day, and they were growing. Right? They had a faster adoption rate than Facebook. What is the number one complaint from SharePoint administrators year after year after year? Low user adoption, right? So there's something we can learn here. And we don't have to just share pictures of my cat, but there's really something to learn here. Although I like cats, I really do. So
we have social now, and Yammer's really helped that social step. Can we talk about what we're thinking about?
Well, I saw something interesting this morning during the keynote. The demonstration was they brought up a SharePoint, a document that was in SharePoint using the Office Word Viewer, and then clicked a little Yammer button. They saw a conversation about the document in Yammer inside the application. That idea, instead of saying, look, I want to put a document inside of a conversation, I want to put the conversation in the document. That's a powerful idea.
And we're looking at that to not only deal with like office documents, but we deal with the images. So when a piece of paper comes in, it's not quite as easy to have a conversation about a piece of paper because it's already become an image. And so
the other thing
we
about
can't
social
give too much away on that. But that's where we're looking to go with it.
Well, to us, it's all right. Continue. Mobile. Mobile's easy. Everybody understands mobile. That's just, again, we have a repository. We have services around that repository, whether it's indexing or capture or the things that make the repository valuable. Repository by itself is not valuable. It's just another dumping ground. It's when you wrap those services around it that it becomes valuable. So the mobility strategy for everybody at this conference has to be to connect you to those services, whether it's us or any other vendor. It has to be connect you to those services around the repository. And that means connecting you wherever you are. One of the guests from KnowledgeX is walking around the floor today with a pair of Google glasses on. We've got our software, Connect.
Yeah, he wants to get a copy on it.
What's that?
He wants to get a copy. For the Google Glass.
Oh, yeah.
Capturing.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my own punch out there. I don't think Google Glass is for everything. I don't see people doing high volume document imaging walking around staring at pieces of paper. So let's be realistic. I mean.
But it's demonstrative.
We can do it.
It's demonstrative, which is that we have to meet users where they are, right? Just like social, we have to go to the users. We can't drag the users to us.
But in this example here, we're talking about an insurance. And there are the case of insurance, the faster you can do a policy and pay the person back, the happier the customer is going to be. So, insurance guys go out today with their pieces of their devices, and they capture it, and they index it, and they can send it to a workflow, and that person can practically get paid before the insurance guys even made it home.
Yep.
So that's a real-world application. And then, theoretically, that same thing could be happening with a camera on your glasses, not doing paper, but going out to a site, going, yep, look at that car index, look up the metadata, and then, boom, it's going through.
I didn't really preface these slides very well, but I should have prefaced them to say, these are the four megatrends from Microsoft. Microsoft last year, famously, Ballmer had an analyst call. And when Steve Ballmer has an analyst call, there are 2,000 analysts, right? It's a room much larger than this, and it's full. And he sat on stage and he said, listen, we can't attack $2 billion problems or $10 billion problems. We have to attack $100 billion problems. And we think there are four of those. We think there are four $100 billion problems or opportunities. And those are cloud, social, mobile, and big data.
Big data. We had to do it. Somebody had to do it.
Big data
attack
is
coming.
Attack
before it attacks you.
So, this is a real concern for everybody here who's invested in SharePoint. And they want to know they made a good investment in SharePoint. It would be crazy not to be concerned about the implications of big data. Is my competitor, who waited to invest and didn't invest in SharePoint, who is going to invest in big data, going to have a leg up on me, right? And, safely, the answer is no. Right? Microsoft's not going to let that happen, and we're not going to let that happen either. We're here to win. But let's talk about it. What does big data mean, right? Everybody thinks that big data means that I can search massive databases, right? Big 16 terabyte databases quickly. And that's true. It is very, very good at that. It scales very, very well. There's an old concept of taking your computation to your storage. And it wasn't very important to us 20 years ago when it was first thought up, and there's some really interesting technology. Okay, I'm getting too geeky here. But that's what we're doing today. That's what big data is. Its ability to do things quickly is it takes the computation to the data. So massively sharding your data across a whole bunch of machines and taking your computation to that data and returning it back and reassembling it. And that's important. That's great. That's kind of compelling. But to me, the more compelling aspect of big data is that the underlying repository is schemaless. Anybody here know what schemaless means? It means there's no predefined content types, right? It means you've got an I-9 today, and here are the properties for that content type. And tomorrow, I want to add three new properties to it, right? I can't do that very easily with SharePoint today. Or I want to add or remove things. Well, that's kind of a big no-no in ECM to change content types. But the real power here is, speed up. The real power here is that you can add relationships. If you can add a new property, then you can add relationships. So whereas today, we're very good at managing, manipulating content types and properties, tomorrow with big data, we're going to be able to manipulate the relationships between those things. And there's going to be a lot of power from that. More relevant search results you saw today, automatic indexing, all sorts of good stuff.
But less administration and more effective use, getting the content easier. Think of it. My scenario is just take all the paper you've got, throw it into a machine, and just walk away, and it figures it out for you. Users aren't typing it. Users aren't indexing. The software does all the work for you. You throw it into a hopper. You go to the computer, and it's already organized for you. That's the way it's going.
Between semantic indexing and big data, that's going to be reality, yes.
Yeah, and we're already looking at technology for doing that. So what does it mean in the end of the day? All this technology, all these values, all this hype of bringing this great value and user adoption. We've got lots of customers. We don't list all the logos because anybody can list logos. But we do. Ron, are you here? Did you enter the building or did you bail on me like you said you
would? Ron's over the right.
Ron? There he is. All right, so thank you. Cutting him down and realize he's over here. Ron, go ahead and stand up here. Ron's one of our biggest success stories. He's up here for the, he's going to be up for Moet, he's with Moet's. He's up for the Medalogix Best of Breed Awards. And Ron, you can go ahead and sit down. But I'm going to tell a little story about Ron here. And I just wanted him to be here, and I appreciate that you're here, and I'm glad I didn't start cutting you down behind your back. So he had a huge problem. He had paper everywhere. I went over to his headquarters over in Chicago. They're the second biggest union in the country. They built the skyscrapers of Chicago. They have lots of paper challenges, lots of paper information. They have a pharmacy. They have pensions. They have compliance you wouldn't believe. They're like their own little village of information. Every single department you can imagine in an organization, he had. And Ron, I've never given this presentation in front of you, so I hope you're okay with what I say here, but they had paper problems like you wouldn't believe. They had that little old lady who was printing out the documents. Me and Ron kind of laughed about it. He's like, watch this. And she prints it out, and she'll walk over. She's like, I'm not changing the way I've been doing this for 20 years. And he's like, well, one day you're not going to be here, and we need to make this process more efficient. And we looked at, I could give you more examples in the water, what here, but here's what he looked at. He looked at just a number of the problems he was dealing with, and he was looking at, what if I don't do anything? And Ron's a smart guy. He's not going to spend money unless he knows there's going to be a good investment return from it. So he looked at all these processes and did some spreadsheets, did some analysis, and like, how much money am I going to waste if I don't do something? And he figured he's going to waste $2.5 million if he didn't move on some of these solutions. Now, one example was his grievance process. I remember going into his office, and he said, look, I have a process, and here's the workflow. And he took it, and he flipped out the paper and rolled it out. I couldn't get in a single shot because it rolled from here to this wall of this workflow that it was doing manually, literally printing it out, right, carrying it around, making copies and sticking them on lawyers' desks. And then they would sign it, make an amendment, make a change, and they would go back and print it again. It would grow from two or four pages to like 100 and so pages. It would take them 34 days to do the average grievance process. Implemented our imaging, implemented the K2 workflow, and the result was it went from 32 days to 4 hours. 10 minutes. So I'm going to use that number next time. Went from 34 days to 10 minutes. So you can imagine lawyers aren't cheap. And so if you can make their processes and their time more efficient, he saved a lot of money. That's one example. I mean, you pretty much attacked the whole company. The unions around the world are coming to him now for examples of how to solve these problems. It's been a case study. So he did it with some barcode recognition. He had ways to get information into, he had boxes and boxes of paper. You know, one situation, he had 80 boxes of paper in a basement, it flooded. So he had interns down there with hair dryers drying off the paper. Not exactly the most rewarding college careers, but he saw a potential for a problem. His basements were getting full of paper. He was charging, spending tons of money storing paper documents. So he came in, took 5 weeks of training, 5 weeks, 5 days of training. While he was in his training, he set up the SharePoint site from his hotel, got back, implemented a solution, and he got rid of those 80 boxes of paper. Some barcode recognition, some scanning. He streamlined his processes. These workflow processes reduced the time of that grievance from, oh, we do have it on the slide. Maybe I should have read the slide. From from 30 down by 96%. You got the numbers right there. And then workflow solutions increased their processing much more efficiently too. Everybody in the organization could participate. The senior executives didn't mind doing it. The people in the mailroom didn't mind using it. The software was easy. Everybody liked saw the benefits. In fact, throughout the organization, the benefits spread, and he started saving $1,500 per employee, and that started adding up when you start adding up all the employees, and he had employees naturally all over the organization. And so after looking at the cost of the software and the implementation and what it cost to do it, he figured he got an ROI, a full payback on his investment of 4.1 months. Now, can I say how much he spent? I'm just getting them for $750,000. And when you're spending $750,000, you better get a good ROI back in it, or nobody's going to trust you with their money. He spent almost $1 million and got his money back in 4 months.
And actually, the interesting
thing is
I have one workflow that's producing money under
$90,000. So,
yeah.
You have workflows now producing money?
It is. We have a.
Are you cutting us a check every month?
Do you mind? Run board, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. So basically, we have two. We have two really good stories. We have a political PAC fund. We're the largest in the state of Illinois right now, and one of our problems was we have a dispatch office, and you know, in the morning a contractor would end up calling us and say, "Hey, I need a crane operator to come this morning." And every time a guy got dispatched from our dispatch office, we were supposed to send this PAC form out. And that PAC form allows us to get 5 cents a minute, or I'm sorry, 5 cents an hour for every hour the guy works to use toward buying politicians. So the problem the accounting department had is we were about 3,000 to 5,000 PAC forms in the hole on any given month. They just couldn't keep up with the sheer volume. And the other problem we had was these guys would get dispatched out to an office. He'd be there for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, or a week, and we never saw that return. So we didn't even tell the accounting department we were doing it. We just, you know, figured it out. We went ahead one day and
$800,000 a year.
Yeah. So basically, what ended up happening is we deployed it. They dispatch out of our dispatch system. It goes into SharePoint, looks to see if that guy has a signed PAC form. If he does, it grabs it. We created a redaction step because we have Social Security numbers on it. We drop it to a fax machine, we're using WriteFax, and it automatically faxes it out to the contractor. So now the PAC form was getting there before the guy was, and we didn't tell the accounting department, but they, you know, they do the report, and they have to tell the president how much money they have in the PAC all the time, and they instantly, that first month, saw a massive increase. And that increase was about an additional $890,000 a year, so which was pretty good, and we're still buying politicians with it. So it's pretty good.
Information is currency.
Yeah. Unions are buying politicians? That's surprising. Who knew that one? Well, now you know where the money comes from. So the next time you go to Chicago and there's a new governor, you know where we got the money from. So shouldn't be saying that on video.
Don't say that on video.
So they save a lot of money. They've done it with hard savings and soft savings. Hard dollars are where you can, you know, see the actual savings, like printing paper and consumables. The soft dollar savings are time and people spending, processes working better, people working more efficiently. And just processes doing saving you money, people saving you bottom line labor costs. I'm going to clip this on real quick, but we're almost finished. Done so well, there's many magazine articles written about this case study, and Ron's only had a few seconds to talk about one, and you have many more case studies to talk about. Hopefully, Ron, you'll be winning that prize tonight at the award ceremony, because you really have taken SharePoint to the next level, been able to scale it up, put it out through his whole organization and really see some great returns. I mean, if you can make it just start making money for you and users don't even know what's going on, that's the kind of solution you want to implement where it doesn't get so disruptive, it just happens and people start seeing benefits. And that gives you an idea of how the software can be made to be actually a great user experience, not a burden and lower user adoption. So I'm going to end on that note. I'm looking like we're actually we're doing really good on time. So I'm going to go ahead and just give you that shout out to say, you know, you can come by the booth and see some demos. I think Ron might even stick around if you wanted to talk to him about some of the stuff he's doing. We will be at the, you know, our booth all week. We'll also be at the Metalogix party where it's a lot more fun to talk about work with a cool, refreshing beverage on Monday night. And so what I'm going to do is go ahead and leave our contact information up here. I will open it up if anybody has any questions they'd like to ask in front of the large audience. You can either shout it out or walk up to this microphone and give anybody a chance to take advantage of that. Anybody have any questions at this time?
Especially.
Yes, sir. I'll go ahead.
Do we have government clients?
We have government clients in line in the second row. So yes, we have government clients. We have government's clients that we can't talk about as well. So I'll give you some ideas of those acronyms. We also have military branches. The Army and Navy using tons of SharePoint. We have small local government businesses, Department of Defense all the way down to the DMV. You know how government is so paper intensive? That's where we see a lot of success. So everything from state and local government all the way up to the federal to the people that you can't talk about. And we have a lot on our website. The ones which you can't talk about are usually a government agency does this, but you won't see the government agency's name, i.e. the CIA and NSA. Any other questions? All right, folks, yes. Yes, that's part of our records management. It's part of SharePoint, but we enhance that also with the records management solution as well to go beyond just the expiration. But notification to somebody, so it doesn't just delete in the background. It tells somebody, do you want to delete this before it disappears? All right, thank you very much, folks, for coming. We do appreciate it. We'll be in the booth all week, and my voice, I can't believe I made it through. Ben, thank you very much for joining me. And Ron, thanks for coming. I do appreciate that. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.